So I wasn't feeling super well the other day. I'm in Oxford visiting my best friend who's in an abroad program, and I'm really congested. So all the food here is dairy-based.
Like, that's England for you.
It's like mayonnaise and cream and...
Dairy products are very good, though.
They are. The goat cheese is so delicious. Good. The goat cheese is so good, but it's everywhere, and I just, like, my sinuses can't handle it. And I'm looking for some food that will not aggravate my cold. Hi, that voice you hear is me talking. My name is Amanda. I'm still a little congested, but hopefully it won't affect the podcast. Today I'm going to use a story told by my friend and I to talk about the difference between our speaking voice and our writing voice. Occasionally, I'm going to interrupt the action to rephrase a sentence so that we can hear the distinction between words we use when we're speaking and words we use when we're writing. Okay, let's get back to the story. Rachel suggests we go to this chain called Prêt à Manger because they have miso soup.
Right, so we get there and we get the soup and we have our trays and we go upstairs and Amanda decides that this is the day to break in her new wedges. So she's tottering up the stairs, carrying the tray with the soup. It's very precarious, but she makes it. So all's well, we think. It's very, very crowded and there's nowhere to sit.
So that's Rachel describing my shoe situation. She'll be joining me on the podcast today. We're actually still in Oxford while we record this. So we're trying to find a table after we've got all this food, and I, like she said, am tottering on these shoes I should not be wearing. Finally, we find a table squished between a woman and a man. The man is reading, and the woman has spread out over both tables.
So I asked a woman who was sitting at one of the tables to if we could sit there, and so she, you know, kind of grunts and has to move her bag away from the table, and yeah, so she was displeased. But, willing.
For our first example, I'm going to rephrase the sentence that Rachel just said. Here's a new version. The woman grunted when she moved her bag away from the table. She was displeased, but willing. In this sentence, I've gotten rid of the ands and so's that Rachel says. I've also split the sentence into two different sentences so that it's a little bit easier to follow. Now, back to the story.
And then, so there's a man on the other side reading a book, and he just, you know, continues reading. So I kind of go in between the two tables, and I'm about to sit down, and all of a sudden the woman starts shrieking.
So I don't see what's happening at all. I'm, like, trying to...
I don't realize what's happening either.
No one knows what's happening. She's just shrieking.
Repeatedly, and not standing up.
And not doing anything. Just shrieking. No words. Shrieks. And we realize that...
Her coffee has spilled into her lap. Allegedly, my purse bumped into the cup, which was on the edge, and knocked into her lap.
But it was so quick that we didn't actually see any bumping of purses and coffee happening. It just was like, we were sitting, and then the coffee was everywhere. And so, obviously, Rachel and I feel very responsible.
I run around looking for napkins.
I stand around uselessly.
There are no napkins anywhere, except for behind the counter downstairs, where they serve food. So I have to go to the counter and ask, and he gives me two napkins, and I have to be like, no, there's a spill, we need more.
Okay, I know the story's getting interesting, but it's time for example number two. Here's my new sentence. The man behind the counter gives me two napkins, but I have to explain that, because of the spill, we need more. In this sentence, I've given the he that Rachel used a referent, because it's a little bit confusing. Also, I've gotten rid of the phrase, I have to be like. Because that's not really something we'd say when we're writing, but maybe something we would use conversationally.
I get the napkins, I go upstairs, and she says she needs a towel, and I need to get, like, the manager involved. And so I'm going around looking, and I go tell the guy, you need, you know, come over here. And he's all trying to figure out what's going on.
And this man reading, who has not done anything this whole time, finally speaks up and says...
He just looks over and says, it was clearly an accident, directly to her. And she goes, and she kind of is taken aback, and she goes... Oh, I know, and she starts kind of backtracking and saying that it's the restaurant's fault for having the tables too close together, and, you know, I think she realized that she was reacting in maybe not the most productive way, but I felt so bad, but there was nothing, she was just shrieking at us.
And Prêt brings her a brand new coffee, and she's wearing black, so it's like, I mean, okay, obviously the hot coffee spilled on her is bad, but it's not destroying her wardrobe visibly. For my last example, here's a new version of a sentence I just said. She's wearing black, so although it's unfortunate that the coffee spilled on her, At least it did not visibly ruin her wardrobe. For this sentence, I've gotten rid of the filler words that I use, like I mean and obviously, and I've changed bad to unfortunate because I think that it's more accurate. I've also rearranged the adjectives and adverbs I use so that they follow English conventions.
And she's seeming to calm down, and we just decide we should just... We're a little bit traumatized. It's been a roller coaster of a few minutes, and so we just decide to leave, and I say, we'll just find somewhere with more space, and we go downstairs.
But the guy who witnessed the whole situation, not the guy reading, the guy who ended up cleaning up, the person who works there, realized, I think, that it was traumatic, and so he brought us two, like, little vouchers. Cards
for free coffee, so the three of us, the woman with the coffee and us, we all got free coffee vouchers, which, you know...
Which is not always what happens in an accident like this, but we're not complaining. I mean, it's humorous now. I still feel very bad for the woman. But I think that it's so interesting when an accident occurs between two strangers, because those reactions to that accident, I think, reveal a lot about them. So.
And the bystanders, what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully, these examples demonstrated that a lot of what we say, connecting words, filler words, words that show that we're thinking, can be eliminated when writing, so that the ideas are clear, concise, and economic. I hope this helps your future writing endeavors. Until next time, bye!